Good morning and welcome again to Celebration Church Live. I must say, you guys look fabulous in your Sunday jammies. This morning we're going to give you a few minutes to hop on so that you don't miss the singing. We're going to play through this first song one time through and then join us. Here we go. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood.
We are glad to have you with us. This is Celebration Church in Montrose, and We are glad that you are choosing to join us, whether live right now or in the week coming. We thank you for that and hope you'll be blessed as we are. We will be starting an online giving, and you can look for that on the website, celebrationmontrose.org. Anyhow, we're trying new things as we figure out how to do them here. It's a new world. We realize as elders in this church that there will be some needs come up due to the virus. And so we will try and stay abreast of that. Let us know if you have needs. And if you do, we will try and get that word out to the body to offer help in that area. We're also trying to update information in the church digitally, and there's stuff going out in emails. If you don't get emails, hopefully there's someone else you know in the church that'll help you get that information. And so you may be getting an email with the subject member portal access, and that will be related to us. So feel free to respond in that. Also, in these uncertain times, there'll be people watching right now that don't normally go to church. If you have questions about anything that is sung, preached, whatever, feel free to call the elders. We'd love to dialogue with you on it and help you understand. And that can also, you can get, if you have our numbers, you can call us direct. Otherwise, you can call the church office, and that will get you to one of us. And that number is on the website also, celebrationmontrose.org. And we're going to go into a time of prayer now. And so I'm going to lead you through this time, and I'll give you a subject matter. We'll pray through that. And then I'll close us in prayer in a little bit. And one other thing, I'm going to give you a little update here on a few of the prayer requests we've been having. John and Elaine Brandon. John is still in the hospital, and they're still trying to discern things. So be in prayer for them. Chuck and Elaine Barton. Chuck is home. He's recovering, but continue to pray and uplift him before the Lord. And my good friend David O. Johnson and his wife Margaret, be in prayer for Dave, that he had a cattle accident about a week ago, and 15 broken ribs. He's healing, he's at home, he's praising God, giving God glory that he's around, and just thanking him that he knows him. He thought he might be seeing him already, and so the first item of prayer, let's just go before the Lord and lift these three up and anybody else that you know of who's hurting right now. And then if you would also lift up the pastor search team here and all they're doing in trying to find the next man God has to be the pastor of this church. And there's many other churches across Colorado that are in a like position. And just lift them up as they go through this time of new discovery on how to worship together separately and as they look for a pastor. And then nationally, if you would just lift up our leaders as they try and make wise decisions in regards to this virus and all the implications of it and ramifications, just where all it's going, and that, again, they would make wise decisions. And then if you would lift up Steve as he gets ready here in a little bit to bring a message to us, that that God's words that come through him would be just what we need to hear, and that each of our hearts would be receptive to what God has for us. And Lord, we just come before you and ask that you would be glorified through all that happens in the coming weeks and months, that you would be uplifted, that the body of Christ would reach out. I think of the verse Romans 5:8, where you say that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And I just pray that we would all realize that we would be looking for opportunities to share what you, Jesus Christ, have done for us personally in our lives, that we would share this with those around us, that we would offer the hope to those that are afraid, to those that have no hope, that we would just be your feet, hands, and mouth, and use us to bless those around us, whether it's physical needs or spiritual needs. We just ask these things in your holy name. Amen.
So those of you who know me, this is going to be a real shocker. I'm a hugger, and I'm a talker, and I'm a people person, and this whole quarantine is really hard for me. But I love what Dave said, that we can worship together apart. Because what hasn't changed is that the King is still on the throne, and we are his kids, and we can worship together. So sing Hosanna with us.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you, 'cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away.
Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come out your way among.
We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises.
Matthew 6:25-30 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will drink, nor about what your body will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body not more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious about clothing, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow? They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you?" I hope that speaks to your heart like it does to mine. Right now, there's so many things that we could be worried about. This world is not what we knew even 2 weeks ago, but it's our new normal. And again, like I said earlier, the thing that has not changed and will never change is that God is still in control. He is still on the throne, and he will get us through. So worship with us as we sing.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. Lift up my hands to the Lord, singing out,
I love you, Lord. Singing out, I love you, Lord. Singing out.
For more than conquerors we are.
singing, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord.
Father God, this morning we are singing, I love you, Lord. I pray right now that you just reach out and touch all those that are home alone, who don't have anyone coming over, God. It's hard to be alone. But help them to know with you, God, we are never alone. No matter how far away we feel, you never leave our side. God, if there's someone out there today that doesn't know you, who needs you as their personal savior, God, there's never been a time that Americans have felt so alone and so out of control. We feel like we don't have control of anything, God. But we know that you do, and that you are the one who can give peace. You're the only one who can give peace in this unpeaceful feeling time. God, I just ask right now that you just touch the hearts of those that need you. And Lord, if there's someone out there that needs you, Lord, I pray that they reach out to one of the elders, or they comment even on Facebook Live that they would like to know you, Lord, and we would love to get in touch with them. Just bring them to you, God. Bless this service today. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Is that better? Are we good? This is such a neat deal. I could not do this on my own. There are about 7 other people here today, and they covered up the windows so they wouldn't glare, and they've got all the sound, and they've got the cameras. This week, instead of preaching into one iPad, I'm preaching into 3 different cameras, and it is just an incredible work of God to have all these people here figuring out all this stuff. All I need to do is come in and be able to share with you the Word of God. And I am so thankful that we have this opportunity today that we would not have had a number of years back had this virus happened or a pandemic happened a few years ago. We would not have this opportunity. And so all praise be to God that we can even be here together. I have been doing a series of sermons over the last 4 weeks here at Celebration Church, and I am so appreciative that they've allowed me to come in and share with them. I think it's the 3rd or the 4th series that we have done together, and I would encourage you that if you're coming in from the outside right now and have not attended Celebration Church in the last few weeks, and you want to get in on the first 2 or 3 of these sessions on the church, the body of Christ, that you can go to celebrationmontrose.org, down to the sermon section, and you can find all of our previous sermons on there. And then I'd also like to welcome the First Baptist Church of Yampa. I'll be up there. I won't be up there in person, but I will be up there virtually next week and for the next couple weeks. Dr. Boswell will be here next week and for the next few weeks. And I know that Celebration really enjoys Charles's preaching, and so I hope that you will tune in for those times. So just a shout out to First Baptist Church Yampa and others that are tuning in today. Want to continue on today. We have talked about and looked at the church, what the church really is, what it really means, what the Bible says about the church. And I want to continue today along that thought pattern. We've looked at the church from the global, the universal church, down to the local church. And we found out that in the scriptures, that the local church is actually used, that thought pattern of the local church is actually used more times than we see the universal church. It is referred to as the local church at Rome, or the local church at Ephesus, or the local church at Corinth. And so we see that, and we understand that out of 120 times that the word church, ecclesia, was used in the New Testament, that over 80 of those were used as a local church. A few of them were used as a universal church, and then they were also used as a mob, because the reality is that the word ecclesia began being used as a military term, meaning those that are called out for military service. So a group of military would come into a town, they'd blow the trumpets, and they would call the people out, call the men out to service. And it was kind of like a forced draft at one point in time in each community. And they would actually march the young men out of town right then and there as they left. And so that's the term that Jesus chose to call his church for today. In the Old Testament, there was no church as we know it now. It was always used for an assembly or even a mob. We understand also that as we drill down into this, and we talk about how we become individual members in the body of Christ, last week we looked at the reality of the body of Christ, whether we want to believe in it or not, whether we choose to believe in it or not, we are the physical representation of Christ on earth today. We have each been given a spiritual gift or gifts. We have each been given a ministry in which to use those gifts. And God is developing within each one of us our personalities and our way of being so that he can use that to honor himself through our ministry and our gifts. We said last week, and I'll say it again, not all preachers are exactly alike. Not all churches are exactly alike. And that's by the ordination of God. He did that. He's the one that places in the body just as he wills. I think it's 8 times in the chapter of 1 Corinthians, number 12, that he uses the terms, and God placed in the body, and he placed in the body just as he wills. And it's never we, it is always he, as we move in to understanding the body of Christ, just like we understand our bodies. And our bodies, my arm never becomes a leg, or my eye never becomes a big toe. And our gifts will never change. Our ministries change, but the rest of us, God has composed in the body just as he wills. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, what it says is, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." That is, that the gifts and the ministries that God has given to me are really for you. And the gifts and the ministry that God has given to you are for all the rest of the body. I heard Adrian Rogers one time say that they are for God's employment, not our enjoyment. And they are tools and not toys. We want to understand, as we move into this even a little bit deeper today, and we talk about members in the body and God placing us in the body, that we have come, I think, as westernized Christianity, if you will, to think that we're in charge. We think that we've got a lot to say about what God does. And so we have these formulas in prayer that we put together so we can tell God what we want done and how we want it done and when we want it done. And that's just not biblical Christianity. We even think that we can orient ourselves in the body rather than allowing God to orient us in the body, as the Bible says, just as He wills. It is never just as we will. When we get into that thought pattern of it's me that controls things, we get into that idea that I can do this or I can do that, or I'd rather be in this position, and so I'm going to work myself up into that position, or I'm going to go to school and become this, or I'm going to go to this class and become that, and that's just not where God would have us to be. That's arrogance on our part when we think we have something to control, and our ministry is actually to be submissive to the will of Christ in our lives and in the life of our church. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. And how that comes about. Because there are many people in this world that call themselves Christian. I have a good friend. I was walking through the street one day with him in another city. I have a vest and a jacket both, but a vest I was wearing that day, that on the back it has Discovering More Than Gold. It's our Alpine Resort Ministry logo, and it said, Discovering More Than Gold. And a gentleman came up and asked me, what does that mean, discovering more than gold? And I said, you know, we have the beautiful Aspen here in our area. People come in from all over. We have world championships. We have the Olympics. People are always striving for gold. Everything is about gold, but there's one thing that's better than gold. And discovering that one thing, Jesus, is better than everything. And he said, oh, then you guys are Christians? And I went, yes, I am. And my friend said, yes, I am. And I looked at him and I said, no, you profess to be a Buddhist. And those are not compatible with each other. And there are a lot of people that, because they were raised in a nice Christian home, maybe they have nice Christian morals, maybe they've been to church for a long time, will profess Christianity. But it's not biblical Christianity. I want to read a couple of scriptures for you today, and it'll take just a minute. And the first one is out of Jesus' own mouth. And this is what he says about biblical Christianity. If you will, John chapter 3, I'm going to be reading verses 3 through 8. And it says, Jesus answered him, this is Nicodemus, truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water, physical birth, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again. Doesn't have anything to do with denominationalism. Doesn't have anything to do with religiosity. Doesn't have anything to do with our preferences. What it has to do with is being obedient to the words of Jesus. He's the one that said that, not Steve Hoekstra, not another preacher, not somebody knocking on your door. It was Jesus. And Jesus said, you must be born again. It's the only way. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And then if you'll skip down to verse 16 with me. For God, and I love this, I just love this for this day and time. For the tumultuous world that we live in. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Listen, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And again, I'm saying to you, this is not my words. It's not denominational. It's not religious. It is the Word of God in the mouth of Jesus. It should bring hope to right now, not a hopeless world, but a very confused world. God didn't do this. Mankind did this in our unbelief, beginning with Adam. God is redeeming mankind from all of this. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 6. Well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death, and we were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in that newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall certainly be united with Him in the resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Remember, Jesus said you must be born again. Well, to be born, you got to die. And that's what this is talking about. You've got to die to the old life and be born into a new life. It's not just turning over a new leaf. It's not just adopting a new set of rules or a new thought pattern or a new philosophy. It's actually dying to an old life spiritually and being born into a new life in Christ Jesus. It's the only way. Christianity is not a set of moral guidelines or a belief system or a religion or a lifestyle. It is a death, burial, and resurrection to a brand new life that is not just empowered by the Holy Spirit, but it is only present because of the Holy Spirit everlastingly living through me. I am only His conduit, His life. He's living through me as He normally would be from the beginning of time. That was the way that we were designed. Not all that are Christians believe in Christianity that way. Let me rephrase that. Not all who call themselves Christians believe in that biblical reality. And that's the only way that we can be placed into the body of Christ. So why, people ask me, why should I become a member of a church? And my first answer to them is that because you already are. God has placed you. If you're a Christian, if you are a biblical Christian, as we just talked about, God has already placed you in a body. And when you refuse to operate in a local body, you are crippling that body. And why should I become a member? Because it's practical. Not only is it scriptural and biblical, and God's already placed you, but it's always practical. If this is what it really means to be a Christian, would I want someone in our youth group or someone in our teaching our children or even in our adult classes teaching something different than this? And not for me. It is so important that we understand, first of all, that God has already placed you in the body. And second of all, that what you believe is important to this body. And you are committing yourself to work along with this body to be the best finger or the best big toe or the best eyeball or whatever that it might be to be the body of Christ in this place. And I'm not talking about in this place as this building, but in this place in the community that God has called us to minister to. There are people that say, well, I don't, number one, don't need to join a church. And yes, you do. We just talked about that. And then there are people that say, well, I might be a Christian, but I don't need to be baptized. That's not really an important deal. And I'm saying, yes, it is. Let me read again what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. These are not my words. They're coming right out of Scripture. For those of you with a red letter edition, it's written in red. That means it's Jesus talking. It's important. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Listen, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I love this. And behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. What a great promise that is. Baptism is not a criteria for my salvation. Don't misunderstand that. But it is a command that sets the stage for all other areas of my obedience. If I'm unwilling to follow Christ, and he was baptized at the beginning of his ministry as an example for us, if I am unwilling to follow his example and his teaching, then I am become unusable because I have rebellion in my heart and I have the arrogance to say, I don't need that. Even though, Jesus, you might tell me that, and even though I read it in your word, I know better. And I don't think I want to be accused of telling God that I know better than he. Adam and Eve got in a lot of trouble that way. And mankind down through the ages have gotten in a lot of trouble that way. Baptism is really one of the first signs of obedience, of submission to Jesus. And it is not necessary for salvation, but it is necessary for continuing fellowship with God the Father through the blood of Jesus and through the presence of His Holy Spirit in my life. It is a symbol of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It is a symbol when we lay people under the water of that death to the old life, and then when we raise them to newness of life. That resurrection that we're going to celebrate in just a few weeks at Easter. That's the thought behind baptism. That's what this local body believes and practices. So that is the beginning process to joining this local body. And then it says, and teaching them whatsoever that I have commanded you. And if we can kind of reverse that around, and instead of saying teaching, say learning. So I'm not now the teacher, I am the being taught, or the learner, the disciple. It might say learning whatsoever things that I have commanded you. And that's the thought about reading our scriptures, joining together in prayer, joining together in Bible study, even if it's virtual, as so many of us are doing right now. It is not about what we do. It is about who He is in us. And there are so many religious institutions that say it is about what we do and how we do this and how we do this and how we do this. And if you do everything right, then you're a Christian, and it's not about that. You become a Christian and you allow God to do those things He wants to do in your life and pour forth from you His Holy Spirit. It is the release of the Holy Spirit that brings joy to Jesus. I love the verses in John chapter 15 that talk about the joy of Jesus. And if you go through and read that all the way from chapter 12, 13, and 14, and 15, you will see where there is a transition in John that Jesus takes all the way from the garden into the sermon and talking to his disciples and all like that. And I just love this because this is where he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And then he talks about the joy of my salvation, not our salvation, but his salvation. And I just, if you read through there, it is the release of the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. And I can see him sitting at the right hand of God in heaven and saying, look, God, they're doing it. They're releasing the Holy Spirit in Montrose. It is so cool. That's what we've been wanting. That's where we want to be. All right. And getting very excited about what's going on. Because the opposite of that is when we quench the Holy Spirit. And we know what He wants. And we know what He desires in our life. And we say, nah, I know better. No, I'm not willing to do that. No, I don't really trust you that far, God. Today, as we've been opening up God's Word, maybe you've realized that you've been trusting in a religion, trusting in church that you went to years and years ago. Trusting in a time earlier in your life. And I'm asking you right now, if you don't know Jesus as Jesus has asked you to know Him, truly, truly I say to you, you must be born again. That's what he says. If you've never made that profession of faith, if you've never accepted that, let's do it today. Don't bypass another day. Take the words of Jesus as fact, as a reality. And allow Him to bring peace and hope and joy into your life right now. I know a few of my relatives are watching this. And I know that some of you have wandered away from the true teaching of God and just said, you know, I don't have time for it or whatever. And I'd ask you today, as your Uncle Steve, as your Cousin Steve, that you would get back to this. Jesus wants you and loves you. Maybe you're a person that right now has been indwelt from the Holy Spirit, but maybe turned away for whatever reason. Maybe you're angry at God, which I'm telling you is not a profitable deal for anybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Folks, let's be the people that God has called us to be. Let's bring our whole selves to who Jesus is. I read earlier in today's sermon and out of Romans in chapter 12, but let me share with you the first two verses in that, because they're great. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, which is acceptable to God, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. Would you make that commitment today? Whether you're at home by yourself, whether you're at home with a group, whatever the situation is, would you bow your head with me for just a minute and make that commitment to Jesus? If you need some help doing that, please call the number of Celebration. We'll get right back in touch with you. Please call me if you want to, if you know me. Call me and I'll love to get in touch with you. But don't let this go another week. Don't let it go another day. In this trying time, none of us know that we have another day or another week. The church is made up of those that have made that kind of a profession to allow Christ in their lives to be total Lord and Savior, God and King. And that's the only thing. That's the starting point for true Christianity and a true membership in the church of God as he calls us out of the world. That's what the church really is. Would you bow with me today as we pray and ask God to renew our minds and our spirits toward him? Please join me. Father, you are the awesome creator God of the universe. And yet you care for each and every individual life on earth that ever has been, is now, or ever will be. God, you care so much that you sent your Son as a sacrifice, as the sacrifice. God, allow us in the terms of Jesus this day to die to our old life and to be born from above. That which is flesh. That which is spirit. And I say again to you, you must be born again. Father, that is the entry point into this that we call the church. Use your word now, God, to quicken our hearts, to refresh our minds, to love us in ways, God, that we've never been loved before. Virtually or otherwise, God, I ask that you would wrap your arms around each person that is listening to this or will listen to it, and that you would let them climb up into your lap and sit there and be loved by you. Jesus, we thank you and give you praise and honor and glory that's due your name. Amen.